You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo. Nick Kyrgios, he kicked off his Australian Open campaign. It was last night.
Well, you don't kick things off in tennis. You flip a coin.
Good point. Nick Kyrgios... Well, he didn't flip the coin. The referee did.
He would have called.
Nick Kyrgios watched the referee flip the coin to decide which end he would be at.
Yeah.
Look, Nick Kyrgios started his Australian Open campaign last night. That's the whole point.
You got to pick either W or M. It depends on what kind of racket they have. Because sometimes it's up or down, M or W. I forget what the other ones are.
Anyway, tennis analogies aside,
yep.
He started off his Australian Open campaign last night with a game against a Portuguese player called Federico Ferreira Silva.
Federico!
Yes.
Cool.
He won. Curious.
Good on him.
Spoiler alert.
Well done. Yes, get in there.
However, there was one of his not so much tennis antics, but you know he's kind of become famous, Kyrgios, for kind of his off-court antics as well.
Yep.
There was something he did in the first set which was, like, truly bizarre.
Okay, let me guess. Was it a tweener?
What's a tweener?
Tweener is when you hit it between your legs.
Oh, no, he did one of them in the end. No, yeah. This was not tennis-related. This was not during a rally. This was in between points.
Okay, because my brother, like, young people are obsessed with Kyrgios. He's the younger, you know, young people's champion. My little brother's obsessed with doing tweeners when he plays tennis.
I would be too whenever I next play tennis, which won't be for a while.
Yeah, so what did he do?
Well, he just randomly between points. He was kind of, like, bouncing the ball, getting ready to serve.
Yeah.
And then randomly yelled out, "Tell your girlfriend to get out of my box." Which I assume he means his coaching box, you know, they've got various coaches and support staff and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But this is the thing, because, like, the cameras then go to Kyrgios' box.
Yeah.
And, well, it can only be described as there is not a girl there.
Right. Who was there?
So I don't know what he was, because he was yelling at, tell your girlfriend to get out of my coaching box. And then there wasn't a girlfriend in the coaching box.
Maybe he's a supernatural tennis player. Like, he plays tennis. He needs to play tennis in order to see dead people. So, like, she was there, but no one else could see it.
I mean, look, I'm going to say that's unlikely.
Okay, it's unlikely, but not
impossible.
Not impossible. I reckon that'd make a great TV show.
But I'd say there's more chance of me winning the Australian Open
than him being a tennis playing medium.
Yes.
Tennis player. He needs to hit the ball from left to right in order to see the dead.
That is a good point, though. That would make a good TV show. Netflix.
I'd watch that too.
Yeah. But there's something else that Kyrgios did, which is kind of made him seem even more bizarre.
Okay.
I'll read you this. I've got a quote here from an article that I'm reading. Kyrgios continued to be the voice of reason.
Nice. Love it.
So this is on a separate issue, not yelling at imaginary girlfriends to get out of his coaching box.
Okay.
This is about him complaining about other competitors that are complaining about having to do the hotel quarantine and that sort of stuff, as you would have seen.
Yeah.
But I just love the fact Kyrgios continued to be the voice of reason.
It's pretty good, right?
Somewhere a journalist who's been to uni and done a 3-year journalism degree sat down at his laptop and wrote the words, "Kyrgios continued to be the voice of reason."
I thought you were going to say.
And was right.
I thought you were going to say that somewhere a journalist has sat down to write that headline and he's been shot by his editor. He goes, "No, this is not the story."
No, he sat down to write that headline and then all of a sudden Kyrgios started yelling at him, going, there's dead people around you, as he was, like, juggling a tennis ball in his racket.
Would you like a little bit more Kyrgios news?
Is there more?
There is. So his press conference after he won his match.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it here. It's pretty good.
He's a very strange cat, Novak is. You know, heck of a tennis player, but I unfortunately, someone that's partying with his shirt off during a global pandemic, I don't know if I can take any slack from that, man. Like, that's as bad as it gets for me.
Okay, Bill, last question. Thank you.
That was good answer, bro. Bang.
Take yourself off mute, please, Bill.
Nailed it, bro.
Bill, you're on mute.
Come on, Billy.
There's a lot going on there, Jordan.
Yeah, so how was that? What was happening?
So basically,
why was Bill on mute?
So in his press conference, he's been asked the question about Novak, right? And he's like, because they've got beef, long-standing beef, those two. But what's ended up happening is Kyrgios has then cheered on himself about how well he's answered the question.
Yeah.
When he's like, that's a good answer, bro. That's a great answer.
Well, self-encouragement.
Well done, yes. Big ups.
That's as bad as it gets for me.
So he says that and then he's like...
Okay, Bill, last question. Thank you.
That was a good answer, bro. Bang.
Take yourself off mute, please, Bill.
Nailed it, bro.
And then Bill doesn't know how on, Zoom calls work.
Can you hear?
Right at the end, Bill's like, can you hear me?
Come on, Bill, mate. We've been doing Zoom calls for 12 months. You should know by now.
Simo and Jordan.
I've been obsessed with this story, Jordan. A guy swallowed an AirPod.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll tell you why.
That was going to be my question.
So, do you sleep with headphones? Like, do you listen to soft music or whale sounds while you go to bed?
No, is that a thing that some people do?
Some people do it. My mum was into the whale CDs for a while.
Okay.
But then again, she had three sons that were 6, 9, and 12, so yeah. Need a lot of calming in that household.
Just try to drown them out.
Yeah. So, no, nothing from you? What's your routine? No listening at all?
No, not really.
Really? Because lots of people will put on headphones and listen to, like, a book or some, you know, that kind of thing. So he, a 38-year-old guy, his name's Brad, he is warning other AirPod users about the dangers of swallowing wireless earbuds after accidentally ingesting one in his sleep.
Well, how does that... So he's obviously listening to music or whatever.
Yeah.
And one's fallen out and somehow it's travelled down from his ear across his cheek to his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's accidentally eaten it while sleeping.
Well, what's the stats on how many spiders that you swallow a night?
Oh, I don't want to know what the stats are.
There's a certain amount that...
It's something like... I think it's like 9 a year. Or something, on average.
And now you've got to throw in an AirPod as well. 9 spiders.
9 spiders, 1 AirPod.
What else has gone down the hatch?
You don't even need breakfast in the morning.
That's it.
You wake up and like, oh, I'm full and my stomach's playing Madonna. That's weird.
Madonna of all things, really? Anyway, so he's had surgery to have it removed. But yeah, so he noticed that he was feeling a bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
The AirPod started bugging him as well during the day. He was like, where the hell is, where could it be? I've lost it. Till he worked out that he must have swallowed it because you like, I don't know if he drank some water and he said he had a bit of a choking fit.
Okay.
Just how he worked it out. It's not like he drank the water and like buzzed or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's had it all removed. He's all good now. But what I just thought was like, what kind of playlist would you set up just for the little, you know, while you've got an AirPod in your stomach?
Yeah.
Just to freak your friends out. What would you play?
Well, was the AirPod actually still working in his stomach?
It doesn't say.
I would assume not because like in your stomach, don't you have like acid or something that breaks down food? I assume that would break down an AirPod.
Yeah, exactly. But for the limited time, you'd have to have a playlist, surely. The stomach playlist.
The opportunity for practical jokes. Are brilliant.
So I've got a couple of ideas here.
Yeah. Yeah, you got that yummy, yummy. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, Justin Bieber's yummy. Maybe have that playing from your stomach when you sit down at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Cake by the ocean.
Okay, which one? I mean, you'd have to be by an ocean as well.
Watermelon sugar.
Are these just all food-related songs?
When you're sitting down cutting up some watermelon. Yeah, so there's a couple of options for you there, Jordan.
Or if I was him, I would have just played, like, ghost music.
Oh, yeah, creepy.
Just, like, creepy, like, haunted house.
Well, if you want to go down the creepy avenue, you could do Duran Duran, a bit of a throwback. Smell like a sound, I'm lost in a
crowd, and I'm hungry like the world. Nice, like it.
So, you know, it's been removed now, but maybe he's missed an opportunity. So if you're listening to this and you've swallowed an AirPod...
See a doctor.
Yeah. Yep.
But in the 10-minute car ride to the doctor.
Once they hung up on you and you're going to the emergency room.
I don't have AirPods. I don't know if they have this capability.
Yeah.
But I assume because they're like Bluetooth headphones.
Mm.
So you can just make a phone call and instead of putting the phone to your face, you'll be able to hear them through the AirPods. Is that something they can do?
Yeah. So if you rang someone, they'd be able to hear what your stomach sounds like.
So it's like if you ring the doctor, it's like, okay, what seems to be the issue? You tell me. Have a listen.
Would you like to hear the issue?
I'll just connect Bluetooth, and that is the sound of my stomach juices.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, the Los Angeles Police Department, they have made news.
Cops Suspects is filmed on location with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
The LAPD, as they are known, they tweeted a photo which is kind of starting to go a little bit viral. The photo shows a single pair of handcuffs that was taken from an officer more than 60 years ago.
Wow, that's incredible.
How this happened was a guy who managed to get his hands on the handcuffs back 60 years ago decided to return them to the LAPD with a letter of apology.
Okay.
As well as that, a $100 kind of apology payment type thing.
Okay. The guy, when you say he got his hands on the handcuffs, were the hands in the handcuffs at some point?
No.
Okay.
So it's unclear. All we know about what has happened is what happened in this letter.
Yes.
Which the guy said.
Mm-hmm.
The letter was by a 74-year-old grandfather.
Yep.
Who wrote that he had taken the handcuffs off the ground when an officer dropped them during an altercation at Bob's Big Boy restaurant more than 60 years ago.
That's where all the big boys are. That's why the cops are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta take those big boys down.
You either have to be a big boy or called Bob.
And if you're both, then it's free to eat.
I know. But yeah, so that's all an altercation.
Okay.
That's all. So you can kind of...
So he was being the dickhead that pinched the cops' cuffs.
I mean, it's unclear.
That's what I'm reading into it. It seems like he's the dickhead. He's pinched the cuffs while the officer's dealing with another issue. Like, you know, how everyone's kind of watching when something kicks off.
Yeah, it's the most entertaining thing ever.
Have you been in those scenarios? Kind of a little bit scary.
Well, there was literally... Okay, this is going and getting a bit off topic.
Yeah, but...
But there was someone just across the road from our office here yesterday afternoon that got pulled over.
Oh, right.
By cops. Like, we were in the office and then you hear the sirens and the flashing lights. Mm. Everyone in the office was watching.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like, if there was someone selling popcorn right now, that would be perfect.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with... That seems to me a bit more like fight scenario, like a bit more kind of close proximity, a bit of a crowd watching on while a policeman's trying to deal with it.
Yeah.
Person, because I've been in that situation where it's kind of like, whoa, it all kind of kicks off and then there's a big, all of a sudden a crowd.
Mm.
It would have been scary, but they were jockeys, so it was kind of a little bit humorous.
Well, jockeys were fighting.
Each other, yeah.
Okay.
Cops arrived.
Yeah, that does seem...
It was really weird.
Bizarre.
Well, they got upset at each other for some reason. Can't remember.
Something horse related, I don't know. But anyway, so this guy who returned the handcuffs wasn't a jockey.
Okay, yep.
He wrote in his letter, "I have felt a little guilty each time I saw the handcuffs over the years, but did nothing about it.
Mm.
So now has finally decided to return the handcuffs to set a good example for his grandsons who are aged 6 and 9.
So he's worked out the error of his ways.
Yeah.
It's funny, that stuff that haunts you, isn't it? Memories-wise.
Yeah, the LAPD did, along with the photo, they did write the caption, "It's never too late to do the right thing."
Mm, yeah.
So, I mean, fair play to him returning the handcuff. I mean, I don't know a lot about the LAPD, but I assume they've got more technological handcuffs than the ones 60 years ago.
Yeah, and also that concept of, what is it, never too late.
Well, yeah, they tweeted, it's never too late to do the right thing.
So if you rob a bank now, just give it all back.
In 60 years.
When you're on your deathbed. Don't need this anymore.
Yeah. I don't need this yacht anymore, so... Here you go.
Yep, always, you know, it wasn't too late to do a good thing.
Well, yeah, but having said that, it's always too early to do a wrong thing.
So what you're saying is it's a sliding scale.
What I'm saying is don't rob banks.
Simo and Jordan.
It is time for a top five. Big fan of a top five.
I could tell.
Now, the top five thing I want to do is, well, it comes about because Sacha Baron Cohen has popped up in an ad during the week.
He's in Australia. He's one of the celebs like Zac Efron and all that have come to live in Australia during COVID, isn't he?
Yeah, because his other half spent 10... Well, she's Australian.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the ginger one from The Wedding Crashers, Isla Fisher.
Oh, I didn't realise they were together.
Yeah, I think they're married.
Okay, well, obviously I need to keep more up to date on my Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher news.
Yeah, Isla Fisher caught up with our very own Kate Ritchie as well this week.
Okay.
Because Isla turned 40. I think. She'd spent, I think it was 10 years on Home and Away, and meanwhile, you know, that was a short stint in comparison to Kate Ritchie. Kate Ritchie's, I think, 30 or something.
Something like that.
Crazy. Anyway, before we get into the top five, all right, this is the ad that popped up, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Now, free? Crikey.
Love
30.
So what it is Sacha Baron Cohen just flicking through dinner ideas on an app while he's the chair umpire for Kyrgios's tennis match.
Okay.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
So Kyrgios is someone that gets annoyed at the best of times.
Yeah.
When the ref isn't paying attention.
Mm.
That would probably annoy him.
If it was Sacha Baron Cohen, he annoys people for a living, so...
Well, yeah, annoys and entertains.
Absolutely. So what I figured was, let's brainstorm a top five chair umpires. Who would be the superior chair umpires for tennis you would love to see at the Open?
Okay, so hang on. So obviously, Sacha Baron Cohen has played a chair umpire.
Yep.
And now we're thinking of other famous people.
Yep.
That think, you know what, the money, the fame of my acting or singing or whatever, I'm going to throw that all away and become a tennis umpire.
That's it. Not just actors either, mind you.
Okay.
Anyone. We'll open it up.
Okay.
All right. Coming in at number five is the Hulk from the Avengers.
Right, I feel a bit very aggressive.
Yeah, but you're not going to smash a racket in front of him, are you?
I feel the Hulk would be better as not the main chair umpire.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you used to play tennis as a kid, so you would know they've got the various line judges.
Mm-hmm, they called it linesmen.
Linesmen, yeah. So literally they sit at the end of the court staring down the line, and their only job is to watch if the ball goes out.
Yep.
What do they do if a ball goes out?
Foul!
Yeah, they kind of yell something.
Yeah, it's fault, but with a weird kind of accent.
I thought it was out.
Nah, it's kind of fault/out. They all sound the same.
It's just merged into like a grunting noise.
Because they don't want to specify.
Yeah, but so you'll be watching a tennis, and then if the ball goes out, the chair umpire will go, ow! Or something like that.
That's right.
It's evolved into just a grunt.
Yeah.
It's like in cricket when you appeal for the umpire, you're meant to be saying, how is that? But it's just appealed into, ah!
So the Hulk, you wouldn't smash the racket in front of the Hulk because you'd look a bit weak.
Yeah, but I reckon a lines person, right. I reckon that would be better
Hulk
for the Hulk.
As linesman, Michelle Obama. What about her as chair umpire?
Oh, she'd be very diplomatic.
Yep, coming in at number four, Michelle Obama.
I feel she'd be too nice, though, to kind of... Because sometimes as an umpire, you need to be strict and firm and know that ball was out, you lost the point. I don't feel much... She would be too nice.
All right. Coming in at number three, Billy Bowden.
Who's Billy Bowden again?
Billy Bowden is the guy that used to do sixes, remember? With the bent fingers in cricket.
Oh, he's the cricket umpire that...
Yeah.
When everyone else says, no, this is the symbol for out, you put your finger, Billy Bowden thought, no, I'm going to do my own.
So I think he'll add a bit of pizzazz, bit of, you know...
A bit of flair.
A bit of flair to the tennis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you just need to get him to wear a badge just to say his name, because... No offense to Billy Bowden, when he's standing up against Michelle Obama and the Hulk, no. It's like, I know who those two are. You're going to need a bit of thinking.
Who's that guy?
We're going to need a name tag for him.
He's from New Zealand as well. It's like, name a Kiwi tennis player. You can't, can you?
No.
No, you can't, see?
I don't know, Russell Crowe, he's probably played tennis at some point in his life.
Coming in at number two, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Well, because it'll take away the power from the players. You know how they're always like, ref, are you blind? Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't see a thing.
Yeah, no, that's... I don't know.
But you're going to be able to trust the Hulk because you're going to trust your linesman to make the right decisions. And if we put Obama as another linesman, I reckon we'll be fine.
Okay, so far we've just got lots of linesmen. It's like Kyrgios walks onto the court. It's like, has anyone seen the ref? We've got 17 lines people here, but where's the main ref?
Coming in at number one, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the done thing.
Yeah, no complaints there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, if you make a foot fault, he'll tell you just to go back, step back behind the line.
If you double fault, he'll get out his gun and start shooting at you.
Get back.
Your feet are full. Get back. Get back behind the line.
Yeah.
That's where the chopper is.
Yeah, if you're not mentally strong, if you're up five love and he wants a more entertaining match, he might say, get down, and then he might lose it.
And if it's Schwarzenegger's the ref, you do it.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo, I know that we're like a month and a bit into the new year, but already I think I've found the most nuts story of the year. Everyone, okay. Just stop trying because you're not going to outdo this.
You do bring these to the table quite often, if you don't mind me saying.
I do.
Yeah, in regards to the most nutcase, it's only February, so...
Yeah, early Feb.
Yeah.
But this is, sorry, not a nutcase, not a story about a nutcase.
Yeah.
The most nuts story, the most crazy story of the year.
Yeah, it's bold claim.
I'll tell you the story, and I reckon you'll agree with
I'll
me.
I'll judge it.
So this took place in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
where a man, I should say it was all fine in the end.
Okay.
But a man accidentally chopped off his hand with a chainsaw.
Holy hell.
Was able to have it reattached after he put the hand in a bag and took it to hospital with him.
Was it in ice?
No.
Kept it warm.
I don't know, I guess.
Does the hand work?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. There'd be... No, because they would have lacerated... Because I've had some...
You're not a doctor, so trying to...
No, because I know some pianists that have had, like, hand injury, finger injuries, and it's quite...
Pianists get hand injuries?
They do.
I mean, it makes sense that you do use their hands to play piano, but
yeah.
I just didn't think that, you know, the big suit and all of that, that you can pull a muscle in your finger.
Yeah, well, as in they want to... They keep their hands... They try to stay away from hand injuries because it's their entire...
Oh, I think everyone tries to stay away from injuries no matter what your
job
is.
So I feel like lacerating your whole hand off with a chainsaw, it's a very jagged reattachment.
Well, Simo, I'll tell you what. Guy's name is Ahmet Esan. He's a 59-year-old carpenter from Turkey.
Hmm.
I said he'd been cutting trees in his backyard when he slipped off a rock with the chainsaw running. And as, you know, he slipped off, obviously, one, the chainsaw met wrist and wrist became detached.
Yeah.
He's quoted as saying in a local... I wanted to get the audio of this guy, but he's speaking in Turkish, so...
You can get the audio of that.
Not the incident.
Just, I can probably guess what it sounded a bit like.
I can probably guess there would have been a lot of screaming and the Turkish swear words.
And a lot of chainsaw.
Hang on, you do the chainsaw, I'll be the Turkish guy.
Okay. There you go, that was pretty much it.
We get paid.
Nailed it.
So I wanted to get, because he's given a quote to like a Turkish newspaper after, but it's all in Turkish, unfortunately, but I've got the English translation here.
Yeah.
It says, I fell off a stone with the chainsaw running, and my left hand was cut off at the wrist. I put the hand in a bag and went to hospital with the bag in my other hand. A motorist driving saw me and took me to the local hospital. Simo, after a 10-hour surgery, surgeons were somehow miraculously able to reattach his hand, and they predict that he will, after a bit of recovery, will continue living a normal life afterwards.
Oh, man.
This guy, he's still in hospital, he's still in bandage, still got recovery to do, but he says that he can now feel his hand move his fingers.
That's insane.
So it's going to slowly, you know, it's going to take time, but, you know, it's going to get better to how it was.
Yeah, because everything would have to, kind of, it's not just like reattaching.
I know, it's not just like you get duct tape and just put that out and go, well, there you go, job done.
It's not playing Connect 4. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah.
Actually,
a truer sentence has been spoken.
And the bag situation, what kind of bag was it? Like, is the other half looking around for a Gucci handbag now at round home? Like, where the hell did I put my handbag?
Well, I mean, it's unclear what... all it says is a bag. Okay, I mean, your first thought went to, like, a Gucci handbag.
Mm, yeah.
My first thought went to one of the, like, you know, 10-cent reusable ones you get from Woolies.
Geez, no, you'd want... If you got... No, you want to take good care of your hand. If it's
been... if your hand's chopped off, you're not concerned about it, what bag you're going to do. It's like, oh my God, we need to get a hospital. Someone get a bag. Here's one.
I need.
No,
you're looking.
No, do we have another one?
You're looking through all the bags, and you're like, which one's really going to match this?
Yeah, which one's going to match my severed hand? Oh, this one's red. Oh well, that'll go.
Actually, it would technically would be a handbag, wouldn't it? Thank you.
There is Simo's finest joke of the show.
Actually, I've been working on my chainsaw interpretation as well. Would you like to hear it? Here I go.
Here we go. Good, actually.
Yeah, so I'd been working on that.
It's amazing you were able to do that without moving your mouth and with the push of a button. It's weird, that.
Simo and Jordan.
This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.